Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Hope you're having a great weekend. My name's Jamie, if we haven't met yet, and I get to be the pastor of our church. I'm excited about what we are talking about in this series and what we're talking about today. And to get us started, I want to tell you about the greatest Olympic team that never was. A team that was comprised of the fastest men on planet Earth, some of the fastest sprinters on planet Earth, who was favored every time that they stepped foot onto a track, and yet for 20 years running, they have not won a medal. I'm talking about the U.S. men's 4x100 track relay team. And when I say haven't won a medal, I don't just mean not winning gold. Like, by the way, the U.S. men's hockey team just did against Canada in overtime. Let's go. That was amazing. They, not just that they didn't win gold, they haven't even gotten on the podium. They haven't won any single medal at all. And you know, everyone's like, how in the world is that possible? How do you have a team with some of the fastest sprinters on planet Earth ever, and they don't even get a single medal in 20 years? I'll tell you how. Here's how. In 2008, in Beijing, they failed to advance after a dropped baton. In 2012, in London, they were disqualified after a lane violation. In 2016, in Rio, they were disqualified in the final after a broken exchange of the baton. In 2020, in Tokyo, a mistimed handoff kept them from running in the final race. 20 years. Failed handoffs, dropped batons, misjudged timing. That's how a team of some of the fastest human beings on planet Earth have kept losing over and over and over again. And the point of today is simply this, that if we're not careful, their story could be our story. We're in a series called Legacy. We've been talking about what you pass on that continues on even after you're gone. The idea that life isn't really a sprint. It's not even truly like a marathon. It's a lot more like a relay race, because you aren't just running your race. You are carrying something and you're building something for the runners who are going to come behind you, your spouse, your kids, your friends, your coworkers, and anyone who's running in your wake. And one day, all that you're carrying and all that you're building, one day you're going to hand it off. In fact, you already are right now as you're running your race. We are always handing off. Everyone has a legacy. And that's what we've been talking about. Now, the backdrop for the series all 3 weeks has been one book of the Bible, a book in the New Testament that we call 2 Timothy. This is a letter written a long time ago by the Apostle Paul, the preeminent writer and missionary of all of history and all the Christian history. He wrote this letter from a Roman prison shortly before he would be executed by them. And he wrote the letter to his beloved protege, Timothy. So it's a letter of legacy. It's a letter of legacy. In this letter, Paul is not only reflecting on and evaluating his own legacy, but with his last words, he is encouraging and exhorting and trying to equip Timothy to go live his own, to go build his own legacy. And we've learned from Paul that there are three parts to a legacy, that in the same way that a relay race has its three parts. There's the baton that you were handed, right? There's the race that you run, and then there's the handoff that you make. And that's how we've talked about it. In week one, we talked about what you were handed in life. Why? Because the legacy that was passed to you, it tends to pass through you. What's been passed to us has a tendency to be passed through us. And then week two, we talked about how we're running our race right now. Why? Because the legacy of tomorrow, it's being lived today. And then at last, this Sunday, we're gonna get to the part of the relay race that is life that we all probably thought we were gonna talk about from the beginning, the handoff. We're talking about the handoff today. And to help me talk about this, I actually brought in an expert this week. After last Sunday's service, one of our own church family members, Arlene, she came up to me and she's like, hey, I used to be a track coach. And I was like, I need to talk to you. And so she gave me a crash course in how she used to not only just train relay race runners, but specifically how she trained them to successfully make the handoff, which she said it is the most fragile and the most important part of any relay race. And what she taught me in just a few minutes and then over email, it was fascinating. Much of it I didn't even know. Like, for example, she said that the handoff is is person specific. Like when you practice it, you don't just practice for a handoff in general. You practice with your person, the one that you're handing to. Like you learn their stride and you practice the mechanics of it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And this exchange that has to take place, it takes place in a zone. It takes place in what they call the exchange zone. The exchange zone. And this is a 30 meter section of track around each leg where the one leg ends and the other begins. There's 30 meters where you can make the handoff of the baton. So that's what they have to practice and figure out how to do. The incoming and the outgoing runner, they have to match pace. As one's coming in, the other's going, they have to match pace. They have to match stride. They have to get close. They have to, you know, reach out. And then they have to make the exchange all while running at a full sprint. If they make the pass outside of the zone, instant disqualification. If the baton drops to the ground, instant disqualification. If they fumble the handoff or have to, figure it out, they'll lose precious seconds. It almost always means you do not win the race. And so they rep it over and over and over and over and over again. And the goal, and I didn't know this either, no idea. The goal is to be able to execute a blind handoff. That's the goal. Elite relay race teams, when they're handing off in elite relay race teams, the outgoing runner does not look back. The outgoing runner just accelerates, extends their hand as they're sprinting and just trusts that the baton is going to be there. It's called the blind handoff. And here's why all of that is relevant to you and to me. Because one day, you're going to be in the exchange zone in life. One day, you and I are going to be in the exchange zone. That moment in life, that season in life where you have to hand off all that you've built and all that you've become to whoever is running behind you. One day you're going to be in the exchange zone. But it's even more urgent than that, isn't it? I think we all know that. Because this isn't just a conversation for your deathbed. This is something that's happening right now. You are already in the exchange zone. We know this. You're already in the exchange zone. If someone is watching you, and they are, then you're already in the zone. For many of us, it's your kids, obviously, right? And they're just, you know, receiving, you're passing on, they're absorbing so much from you. It's happening right now. You're in the zone with your kids right now. But of course, it goes beyond just your kids to all kinds of people around you. For example, it's the team member who's under your leadership. It's the friend who's walking through a season that you have already survived and gotten through. It's the athlete that you coach or the newlywed couple that's watching you and how you treat your spouse. It's the younger believer who's watching how you follow Jesus. You're in the zone. You're in the exchange zone with someone right now, with someone's right now. And you may be there for a lifetime or you may just be there for a season, but someone is running after you. Someone is running behind you right now. And the crazy cool part of it is that you have something to hand them. You have something great to hand them, or you're on the way to having something great to hand them, as maybe you've made adjustments in the last 2 weeks and we've talked about that. You have something great to hand them. If you're skeptical about that, you're just joining us in this series, I encourage you to go catch up on parts 1 and 2. But for now, just go with me. Just trust me. I'm telling you that you have something beautiful and you have something consequential in your hand from God for somebody else on planet Earth right now, or someone else on planet Earth right now. And it's awesome and it's great, but here's the problem. There's just one problem. I want that to encourage you. You've got something for somebody. But as we conclude our series, I want you to know there's one problem. A great legacy, it can't just be prepared. It has to be what? It has to be passed. Yeah, a great legacy can't just be prepared. It has to be passed. And as we've just learned, a bad pass can ruin a great legacy. A dropped baton can disqualify a really great team. And we don't want that to happen. I certainly don't want that to happen. No, I want to hand off well. I want to hand off well. In fact, this is true of you. You'll agree. I want to accomplish the blind handoff. That's what I want to do in life. I want to execute the perfect pass, the blind handoff, the one where the next runner doesn't have to look back, doesn't have to slow down. They just like run with confidence, trusting the exchange. And that's what I want. That's what you want. For all the people that are running behind me, like, I don't want my kids, you know, glancing over their shoulder, worrying about what they're getting handed or if they're even going to get it handed to them. But it's beyond that. I don't want young leaders that are around me unsure of whether I'm invested and investing in them. I don't want coworkers questioning whether I'm going to share what I've learned or acquired or picked up along the way, then coming behind me. I want to make a pass, a perfect pass. I want them to just boom. Accelerate forward, eyes fixed on where God is leading them. That's what I hope I do with my life and my legacy. And that's what we're talking about as we close this series today. We're talking about the exchange zone because you're in it and I'm in it. And we want to hand off well. We're talking about what is the most fragile part of this relay race that is life. The hardest part to get right, honestly. But the good news is, I believe the Apostle Paul can help us. In this letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy, that's all about legacy, I believe that in there, he gives us the three parts of a perfect pass. The three things you gotta do if you wanna hand off well and successfully. And these three things that we're gonna look at, I'm really excited to share them today. It made a big difference already in my life, like this week, as I've been praying and thinking about them and preparing for this. Because I believe that the three things that we're gonna talk about, not only will they prepare you for a final handoff one day, someday, but they'll also prepare you for every exchange zone you're gonna step into along the way. So you're in them right now. I'm gonna prepare you for that. These three things that will help you see the opportunities that God has already brought into your lane as you're running your race, opportunities to hand off to people. And they'll help you leverage your race to bless and fuel and direct someone else's. And most important, per the title of the series, these three things, I think, will ensure that your race matters beyond you. Why? Because your well-run race, if you do these three things, your well-run race will result in other well-run races. And that will be your legacy. And you'll know that because when the other people who are running their well-run races, when they tell their story and someone says, hey, how'd you run your race? How did God do that in your life? How did God lead you there? In part, they're gonna talk about you. They're gonna mention your name. That's the opportunity that you and I have right now with our children and with other people that God's brought into our lives. We have an opportunity to partner with God in becoming a permanent name in someone's story. And that's what's at stake, our legacy. So let's dive in. The three parts of the perfect pass that we all want to make and that we must make if we're going to hand off well. Number one, first part of a perfect pass is planning. Everybody say planning. Planning. We're gonna hand off well, you gotta have a plan. Which makes sense, right? You gotta have a plan. This is how the Apostle Paul talks about it to Timothy. This is where you see the planning that he had. He says this to Timothy, again, final letter, final word, farewell letter. My last word to you, Timothy. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, I want you to entrust to other reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. In other words, Timothy, I want you to find someone. I want you to find someone and invest in them. I want you to find someone and entrust part of what you have to them. Why? Because that's what I did for you. That's what I did for you. Because what you're gonna be passing on to them, entrusting to them, are the things you've heard me say. You're the things that you heard me. This is what I passed on to you. You're going to pass to someone else. In other words, this just like I found you, I want you to go find somebody else. Just like I invested in you, I want you to go invest in somebody else. Just like I bet on you, I want you to go bet on someone else. Timothy, I found my people in my life. I identified my handoff partner or partners. Timothy, you're chief among them. You're like the number one. But now in my parting words, I want you to go find your own. And that's a model that we need to follow as well. Paul didn't just plant churches and like write scripture, no big deal, you know? Everywhere he went, he was asking, hey God, who are you raising up next? God, who are you raising up next? And how do they need my help? Who are you raising up next and how do they need my help? It's a question he evidently asked all of his life. And this is how the story started, the story of Paul and Timothy. It's how it started in the first place, because Paul goes and visits Lystra, a town. Goes there to like preach the gospel and plant a church. Well, in the process, he happens to meet a young man who's being raised by his mother and his grandmother. And he could just tell, like, dude, this kid loves Jesus. And he's a leader. Like, dude, this kid's a leader. And evidently, in one way or another, Paul just sensed God saying, hey, I got a plan for this guy, and I want you to be a part of it. So with that clarity, Paul started investing in Timothy. And, you know, through time, an acquaintance became a companion. A companion became a protege, and a protege became, in Paul's own words, he's like my own son. It's like my son. And that's how legacy works. It's intentional. It's intentional. And so the question for you and I today is the same question that Paul had to answer for himself, and he passed that question on to Timothy. I just say it like this. Who is your Timothy? It's a question for us today. It's the same thing. Who's your Timothy? Who's your Timothy? Who is someone in your life who needs your investment? Who is someone that God has placed you around or next to, or perhaps someone God is prompting you to place yourself alongside so that you can run alongside them on God's behalf? Who is that? Like at home. I mean, obviously, if you got kids, that's where you go first. At home, what does each of your kids need from you most right now? Do you have a plan for that? Or at work, who's a younger coworker or younger leader who's got potential but just needs somebody to believe in them? Or we got high school students in the room at school or on your team. Who's someone coming behind you? Just need somebody to believe in them. With your friendships, who's someone that's walking through a season that you've been through before? At church, here, whose life and whose faith needs some of your time and attention on Sunday mornings, maybe as a volunteer? If you're gonna hand anything off, it starts here. You gotta start here. But planning doesn't just start with who. Who's your Timothy? That's the first part. But it goes beyond that to not only who's your Timothy, but what do you wanna pass on? What do you wanna pass on? Like what values, what character, what wisdom, what convictions, what faith do you wanna pass on? What are you trying to pass on to this person? You gotta have a plan for that. You gotta define it, because if you don't define it, you're just gonna default to whatever becomes, you know, naturally. And some of that'll be good and some of it won't. Some of it'll be on purpose, some of it won't be on purpose at all. You gotta have a plan for what you're gonna pass off. Because that's the first part of a perfect handoff. That's the first part of handing off well. Planning. Who's your Timothy? And what do you wanna pass on? And today is an invitation to, maybe for the first time, bring into focus your plan, or really God's plan that he's inviting you into. Because he's already placed people around you. And he's like, hey, I want you to tune in and let's make a plan. Number one's planning. But then moving on, number two, the second ingredient, the second part of the perfect pass is proximity. Everybody say proximity. Proximity. You cannot pass a baton from a distance. I can't be like, here. No, right? I remember the exchange zone. In the exchange zone, when you're running a track relay race, the two runners, they have to get close. They got to match stride. They got to match pace. And distance creates drops. That's what creates drops. If you're too far away, the baton hits the ground. And the same thing is true of your legacy. You cannot hand off from a distance. And the Apostle Paul knew this as well. He knew this was an essential ingredient to the handoff that he wanted to make to Timothy, or he felt like God was calling him to make in his investment with Timothy. And here's how I know that. Because Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. Does anybody want to take a guess in how many of them Timothy is mentioned? It's 11 of the 13. Two of them is a co-author. Why? Because Timothy was around. Timothy and Paul were around each other. Timothy was around the life and the ministry of Paul. Like, they traveled together, they ministered together, they suffered together, and they did so for over 15 years. That's proximity. That's proximity. In fact, an example of this is in Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is a separate place, a separate group of people. He's like, hey, you know Timothy's proven worth. And they're like, yeah, of course we know Timothy. We know you. How do we not know Timothy? You guys are proximate to each other. You're partners in this endeavor. And he's like, how as a son, there's the kind of relationship they eventually had, with a father, he has served with me. He served with me and with me and then with me and with me. He served with me. It's proximity. That's how this exchange happened. By the way, the same is true of your life. Anybody that's made a difference in your story or shaped your story, they did so because in some way they were close. They were at least close enough for you to know them. They were at least close enough for you to hear them, see them, watch them, care about them, have some kind of relationship, learn and receive something from them. They were close enough. And that's just how it works. Impact requires proximity. And so if you're gonna hand off something, you too are gonna have to get close. And for starters, that means that you need to open your calendar. You and I are gonna have to open our calendars. Like, you're gonna have to spend time together with whoever you're trying to hand off with, be it your kids or someone running behind you in another arena of life. You guys gotta spend time together. You gotta get close enough for them to hear you, see you, be with you. I'm talking breakfasts, lunches, hanging out, hangs, pickup games, walks in the neighborhood, coffee, whatever. I mean, anything that involves proximity. Like, you've gotta get close. This one thing right here, proximity, it might be the essential, most essential ingredient of the perfect pass, of a good handoff. Like, you gotta be close. And I just wonder who in your life needs more of this from you. Who's someone running behind you that needs more of this from you? And chances are, if you're anything like most people or anything like me, what your kids need most from you right now isn't more advice, it's probably more presence. If you're anything like me, that, coworker who's maybe younger than you or kind of coming behind your track that you've been on, what they need most from you isn't more critique, it's probably more attention. That young leader that you have an opportunity potentially to influence, what they need probably isn't more feedback, it's more access to you, into your life and your story. That's how it works. You gotta have proximity. If they don't show up on your calendar, they're not gonna show up in your legacy. So you gotta open up your calendar if you're gonna make a handoff. But it's not enough just to open up your calendar. It can't stop there. You also have to open up your life, because we all understand that you can be physically present but relationally absent. Like, we've all experienced that and we've all done that. No, you have to also open up your life. And the Apostle Paul did this. I mean, by his own admission, he says, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, not just teaching, not just content. Here's some advice. Here's some truth. Here's a message I have for you. No, we went way beyond that, because you have to go beyond that if you're going to make a handoff. We shared our lives as well. Man, we shared our lives. If you're going to make a good handoff, you got to share the same thing. You got to share your life. That means opening up about your story. It means opening up about your successes and your failures, your joys and your heartbreaks, your faith and your fear, your certainty and your wondering. It's like when you open up about a time when you made the same mistake as, somebody you're pouring into. Maybe it was worse, but you tell the story of how you turned it into a growth opportunity and kind of like figured it out. It's like the time you share that you were tempted by the hardships of life to despair, but then you found hope and held on to it and you got out of the valley. It's like the time when you share about how you blew it in life. I mean, like, just totally blew it. And maybe an area that mattered, but you found grace and mercy and healing from your heavenly Father, and he helped you turn your story around. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. People don't need access to the sanitized version of you or me. Nah, it's the grit. The grit is where the growth is. The grit is where the growth is. God will move if you'll open your life. So that's part number two of a good handoff, is you gotta get close. You gotta get close enough to open your calendar and open your life, and close enough to do it for a season, not just like a session. Proximity is everything. Part number two. Part number three of a perfect pass, the ingredient number three is practice. Everybody say practice. You gotta practice. Lots and lots and lots of practice. Remember, we learned about the exchange zone. They don't figure out how to hand off the baton on race day. No, they rep it over and 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 over again. And evidently the same thing was essential in Paul's mind to his handoff to Timothy. I wonder if you've noticed in just my preaching in the last couple of weeks, or if you joined us in reading through Timothy every week, which, by the way, do it again one more week. It's only four chapters. Read the whole letter of 2 Timothy. I don't know if you noticed in that that Paul is not really spending any time in this last letter to his beloved protege teaching him anything new. I mean, yeah, there are probably a couple things in there, but not really. I mean, like, he assumes that Timothy's already got it. He's assuming that Timothy already knows it. Here's some examples. Like, hey, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Timothy, hey, you've heard it. You got it. You know it. My final word to you is just, you know, just keep going. Man, keep guarding the deposit. You've already got it, bro. You got everything you need from me. I have nothing more to add. You just keep going. Keep going. Or here's another one. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, Timothy, you got it, you know it, you've learned it. My charge to you is you just keep going. I don't even have anything new to add, just keep going. Why is Paul so confident that Timothy already has it? Because they have been practicing together for years. Like Paul taught and retaught, and then together they applied and reapplied. They lived and relived the teachings of Jesus over and over again until it wasn't just content, it was character, it was a way of life. And they did this again for over 15 years. That's practice. Paul summarized what happened this way with these words. It's an invitation that he gave to Timothy that you can give, no matter who you are, to anyone in your life that you're trying to hand off to. He said, here's all I did. I just invited Timothy to do this right here, to follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And that's practice. Now, there are two parts of practice that you gotta take out of this verse. Because just like he practiced with Timothy, the same thing is going to be true of whatever you want to pass on, right? Whether it's faith or character or discipline or honesty or integrity or compassion, those are things that have to be practiced. They have to be practiced not just once, they have to be repeated. The things you want to pass on have to be practiced. So this is our example, and there's two types of practicing that we need to be ready to do. The first is personal practice. I mean, he says, as I follow Christ, this is what you model. It starts with what you model. Your habits, your priorities, your routines, your actions and reactions, your values, the way that you live your life, the way that you follow Jesus as your king and the rock that you're building your life on. It starts with what you model. Legacy is handed off not by telling, really, though that's part of it. It's really, though, handed off by showing. You pass on what you personally practice. So that's the first type of practice that we're gonna have to be ready to do if we wanna make a good handoff. But the second is even more powerful in its shared practice. Remember, he said, I want you to follow my example as I am following the example of Christ. Like, we're gonna do this together. I'm gonna do it personally. I'm just gonna model for you because I know you're watching. But also, I'm gonna give you an invitation. Hey, let's come follow together. This is what we call initiation. It's initiation. This is, hey, come with me. Hey, come on, let's do this together. I've walked down this road. Let's walk down it together. This is like the time, you know, that you help a younger coworker do something at work and you just let them take all the credit. You're like, hey, that's all I want to do is help. It's like the time you're talking to a newlywed and they're telling you about some marital argument. You're like, dude, just give me all the details. I'm going to get in it with you. Let's do this together. It's like the time that you're following Jesus and you let somebody else follow Jesus alongside you so that God can prepare them one day to do it on their own. It's practice. And this, the shared practice, this is what changes someone's life. This is what's changed your life. This is what changes someone's life, getting to practice alongside somebody who's further down the road. And that is what becomes your legacy. Somebody else has changed life. Somebody else has changed story. And not only that, when they get to tell their story one day and someone says, hey, how did God change your life? Hey, how did Jesus redirect you? How did Jesus heal you? Part of that story is going to include your name. Because they got to practice with you for a season. And God used that to prepare them for what's next. So you gotta practice what you wanna pass on. Third ingredient of a good handoff is you gotta practice what you pass on. Personally and shared. So that's it. Those are the three parts of the perfect pass. We have planning, we got proximity, and we've got practice. Planning, proximity, and practice. That's how you hand off well. And here's why it matters. Because you're in the exchange zone. You're in the exchange zone with somebody that matters to you, that matters to God. And you have something to hand them. You have something to hand them. You're in the exchange with somebody. You have one of these. No, really, you do. I gave you one. There's one under your seat. You have a baton in life right now. In fact, would you just grab it from out from under your seat, please? I gave you a baton. And you can take it home. You don't have to return it. This is yours. I don't know what you can do with it, but it's yours for at least right now. And do me a favor. Would you just like hold your baton up? You don't have to go all the way up in the air. You just keep your arm tired. But you just hold your baton up for a second. I want you to look at it. You got a baton. You got a baton. You have, I want this to represent for you in your mind everything that you have, everything that you're holding in your hands. And some of it, a lot of it are good things that God is using, right? Like some of the things that, good things passed to you from your upbringing, from your family, things that you've worked really hard to build and acquire, things that God's just blessed you with. Man, a lot of it is good stuff that he's using. Some of it, though, is not so great stuff that he's redeeming, that he's using and turning and spinning. It's okay for, I knew that happened last service too. You're good and for his glory. You got a baton. You have something beautiful and consequential in your hands. You got something beautiful and consequential in your hands. All of it, the good and the bad, what God's using and what he's redeeming. And the final realization of this series is that this is not for you. Or at least it's not yours to keep. It's not yours. Or at least it's not yours to keep. It's been given to you for you to steward and for you to pass on to as many people as you possibly can. All the good that God's using and all the not good that he's redeeming and leveraging, it's been given to you to pass on to as many people as you can. This is not yours to keep. And of course, that starts with your family. Absolutely, but it goes beyond that to everyone who's running alongside or in your wake. As you run, they're running behind you. And the only question is, who are you gonna pass it to? Who are you gonna pass it to? Who's your Timothy? And what are you gonna pass on? And to help you do that, I have an exercise for you today. I've had kind of exercise every single week of the series. First week, invited you to take an inventory of what you've been handed. Second week, invited you to audit what you're investing. And this week, my invitation to you is to plan what you're passing. Make a plan for what you're passing. I want to help you do the first part of the perfect pass, planning. Plan what you're passing. Why don't you plan your handoff? Another way of saying is, if you haven't yet in life, I want you to spend some time and I want you to get your assignment. I want you to get your assignment. Hey, God, who? Who do you mean to pass off and what do you mean to pass off to? And that's what this is for. I gave you a handout when you walked in. This is something I'd love to invite you to do this week in your time. Just carve out some time. This has been so helpful for me, convicting to me, sharpening for me this week. But this is what I want you to do. I just want you to grab this and I would invite you just to answer these two questions. One, who is my Timothy? Who's your Timothy? Might be one name, many names. Obviously your children are on here. But think beyond that. Who's your Timothy? And then write their names down, however many it is. And second, I just want you to answer the question, what do I want to pass? What has God given me so that I can pass on to them? What do I want to pass? And write it down. Make a plan. So what I want you to do this week. Get your assignment with God. God, who's my Timothy? And what do you want me to pass? And use this however you want. And once you've done the planning, it's gonna set you up to start getting intentional with the proximity, and the practice. And I hope you'll do it. I've done it this week. I hope you'll do it. Please do it. Please do it. Here's why. Listen to me. You have no idea what hangs in the balance of your decision to do this. You have no idea what hangs in the balance. And neither did Edward Kimball. This is the story I want to close with today. Edward Kimball obviously lived a long time ago. He was a Sunday school teacher at his church. Not like a pastor or anything, just Sunday school teacher. No one famous, you don't know him. But in his Sunday school class, there was this teenager. It was like high school students. And this specific teenager worked at a shoe store in town during the week, school and shoe store. Well, Edward Kimball evidently felt like at one point God put a nudge on his heart, prompted him, I want you to go specifically talk to this kid. I just want you to tell him about Jesus. He just felt this urging from God, like, I need to go specifically tell this guy about Jesus. I don't know if he understands it. I mean, we could do the Sunday school thing, but I need like a one-on-one conversation. So he felt God prompting him to do this. And so in the middle of the week, I guess he took off work or something, but he went to this kid's shoe store, walked into the shoe store. Later he would say he almost lost his nerve and walked out several times, but then he like, nah, got him to do it. He walked up and the kid's like, hey, what are you doing here? And he's like, yeah, I just wanted to talk with you for a second. I just had something I wanted to say. And he told him about Jesus, the gospel of Christianity, the good news of God. And in that shoe store, right there, this kid gives his life to Jesus. And that kid's name was Dwight L. Moody. D.L. Moody, some of you may know his name. D.L. Moody would go on to be one of the most influential evangelists of the 19th century, and God would use him to bring, I mean, literally thousands and thousands of people to faith and to know Jesus. But the story doesn't end there, because D.L. Moody went on to influence and invest in a young man named F.B. Meyer, and then F.B. Meyer would go on to influence and invest in a man named J. Wilbur Chapman. And then J. Wilbur Chapman would go on to mentor a young man named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday would then go on one day to preach and invest in some way to Mordecai Ham, another young man. And then Mordecai Ham, would go on one night to North Carolina to preach a revival service. And at the end of that revival service where Mordecai Ham was preaching, a teenage farm boy came down front and gave his life to Jesus, and that guy's name was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham would go on to be a powerful preacher of the gospel. And God would literally use him to bring millions of people to Jesus all around the world. Billy Graham. All because a Sunday school teacher walked into a shoe store. Listen to me. You have no idea what hangs in the balance of your decision to hand off what you've been given and to hand off well. You have no idea what hangs in the balance of your decision to pass a baton to someone who's running alongside you, running behind you. You might be shaping the next Billy Graham, or you might just be shaping the story of someone's future spouse, someone's future parent, someone's future friend, someone's future coworker, someone's future boss, some town's future leader. You might just be doing that. You might just be shaping someone's story who's made in the image of God, who's been died for by Jesus, the Son of God. And by the way, in the process, you might just be shaping the stories of a lot of people that are going to be coming after them. And when you do, your Heavenly Father is going to be so proud. Going to be so proud. He's going to be like, yes! Because this is how the kingdom of heaven moves forward. It moves forward with one faithful exchange after the next. One faithful handoff at a time. You have no idea what hangs in the balance. So who's your Timothy? And what do you want to hand him? And what do you say we go for the perfect pass? Let me pray for us as we close. Father, thank you for those that handed something to us. We don't want to take it for granted. The people you've put around us and who are running behind us, they're too important. Starting with our kids, but going beyond that to the young people or people behind us in life, they're just too important. So would you give us wisdom to know what to do? We want to make a plan this week. Who's our Timothy and what do we want to pass on? We want to partner with you in making a plan. And then would you give us courage to go be intentional about the proximity and the practice. And we don't know what hangs in the balance, but we do know that you're going to do something beautiful and consequential, just like you've done in our lives. We believe you'll do it in somebody else's. So give us wisdom to know what to do and courage to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.